It's OMF on EEI.
Well, we were listening Barbie Girl before.
With Lou Merlone.
I sucked at calculus in high school.
Christian Fourier.
Ah, trigonometry, calculus, it's all the same to me.
Turned into Glenn.
And Glenn Ordway.
You don't know anything about California.
Hey, stop me if you've heard this one before, but the Celtics had their worst loss of the season again.
This might become a small part of Pelicans' lore. Biggest comeback. 24 points.
Cam Newton had an eventful weekend. OMF is back from vacation.
Hey, look, we don't have school. Why don't we go? Let's get out of here.
On EEI.
What a treat. Look at this. All three of us. Wow.
How about it?
Unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah.
Vacation's over. It's back to work.
It's like you played the role of Ted Cruz. Took a little trip.
I did.
Came back.
A little quick trip.
Tried to, like, explain it.
A little quick trip. Triple mask. I had three masks on. I listened to Fauci. I had my three masks on.
Yep.
And as of today, I guess I'm okay. We'll see. Maybe by Wednesday I'm dead. I don't know.
Yeah. You need a couple weeks before you're officially, good to go.
A little quarantine. But what's a little
quarantine? What's different for the last year?
Exactly.
I got a quarantine. It's what we do here and now.
Talking about bad stuff. Boy, that was really awful yesterday. Worst loss of the season. When you are breaking records for the New Orleans Pelicans, when they are making the biggest comeback in the history of the franchise, that's not good. That's not good.
So I'm trying to figure out what the mindset is now. So is this one of those things where, hey, guys, listen, when the playoffs come around and the end of the season, we'll look back at this as a learning opportunity and a chance to grow as a team and to gain unity. And, it's a learning lesson. And we're going to learn from this, right? Yeah, because we're so much better than this. Like, we keep telling yourself that. You're not that good. I would like to quote the great Gary Washburn, who wrote for one of my favorite papers in the world, it would be the Boston Globe. And this was his opening line today, one of them. It's reached the point where this is expected. It is expected. And not only from us as fans or people who cover the game, but from them. They know what's going to happen. They know that they're not going to be able to handle the lead. They know they're going to pee down their leg and give up an unbelievable, easy opportunity to get a cheap win against a crappy team. And yet they can't do it. Nothing's changed since the playoff, guys. Although the margin of victory is a little bit, slimmer in the postseason. But they couldn't beat teams when it mattered. Inside 5 minutes, two possessions left in the game, they couldn't win it. Nothing's changed.
Yeah, and I think, when Danny said last week that we don't respect our opponents, I don't know if that's the case or what, but you look at recently here in the Pelicans, that's a fun team to watch. You're watching Zion and Ingram and Ball and everything, and the same thing, you look at, Trae Young in Atlanta, but they should be beating these teams. I mean, you're looking at teams like Washington, Detroit, Atlanta, New Orleans. I mean, you are 2-4 in your last six against those teams I just mentioned. These are not the good teams in the league, at all. And to me, nothing has really changed. I think the frustration is coming out now, maybe with the two kids, being Tatum and Brown. Kemba has been inconsistent, but still, I look back and I'm like, you're dropping games. You're the second worst team in the NBA in the fourth quarter. Second worst team in the NBA in the fourth quarter. Now, this is a team that everybody keeps talking about, 3 or 4 years in the Eastern Conference Finals. So if you're that caliber of a team, final four, 3 of the 4 years, you would think you'd start to mature. You would think you'd start to finish games, not be the worst, second worst team in the NBA in the fourth quarter. Like, it's mind-boggling, but Gary's right. You start to kind of expect it.
So believe it or not, they were pretty good at closing out games last year.
The postseason. Postseason.
Yes, they were pretty good. Postseason. Yeah.
They were?
Not in the postseason? Not Miami.
I said the postseason.
The Miami, they were not.
They couldn't win close games in the postseason.
And it's carried over.
But what I'm saying is that this is a real trend that is really bad right now, because they're giving up these big, huge leads. And as Lou said, they're giving them up to teams that are, okay, sort of entertaining, but they're not really playoff teams or contending teams. And that's where they're seeing this thing go. So this is from the 6:28 mark of the third quarter. In yesterday's game, they were outscored 65-36. 65-36. Do the math there, big fella. You're the mathematician.
Hold on, I'm still doing it.
carry the three, carry the one? Five, whatever. Okay. Whatever.
That would Let me worry about y equals mx plus b.
Exactly. That is unbelievable. How is that possible?
See, I mean, I would say that, you know, you're allowed to have a dog every now and then. Like, they're getting numerous
but they're dogs.
They're
golden retrievers. They got bulldogs, boxers. They got a different one every night.
They just happens way too often. So I guess you're really just victims of your own expectations if you're pissed off. Because I think, you know, to me, this reminds me of a team, again, in the NFL that is 8-8. And you sit there and you go, oh, they got so much talent, but they can't get out of their own way. And they can't win close games because good teams can win the close games.
All right, so what's their biggest problem?
They can't.
What's their biggest problem? What's going on here? Because this is a trend. This is not one game, as you just said. This is not
You want to list them?
Right. Yeah, what's the number one problem?
Well, to me, I still think it's the same problem. The bench is 29th in the league.
Yep.
I mean, I'm watching the fourth quarter, and you're seeing the lead dwindle from 21 to 13 going into the fourth quarter. And I'm seeing the two big lineup with Tyson Thompson, with Tatum, and then Pritchard and Nesmith. You know, and the lead in 4 minutes goes down to seven, and then Jaylen Brown rather comes in the game. Like I think it's a serious issue when Tatum and Brown together aren't on the court. I think there's too many children running around. I think it was Jaylen Brown after the game saying we need to mature quickly, we need to grow up, and I think that's a lot to ask with a roster that's this young. Like if you take the two superstars away, you know, and a veteran like Kemba. It's the roster just looks like a complete rebuild. It looks like a bunch of kids that they're just trying to figure out and play and see if they can play in this league.
Can I try? Let me try. Because that's a good one. That's one of the reasons why. But I would also add that you have three unbelievable basketball players on your team. And two of them, I guess, should be able to score points with some sort of consistent basis. When it came down to when we need it most, when you're starting to lose your score and they were starting to reel you in, you got to be able to hit shots. Like, you got to be able, somebody's got to stop the bleeding. Somebody's got to do something about it. With a 24-point lead, you had plenty of opportunities to at least allow the Pelicans to understand where they're at as far as the pecking order. We're better than you. We're better athletes. We're winning. But no, none of them could do it. Kemba couldn't hit a shot. Brown couldn't hit a shot. Tatum was hitting some key shots, especially in the end, but it was just, all you were doing is just, you know, just delaying the inevitable. So, to me, if your stars aren't playing, regardless of how many young players you have, what good are your stars?
Well, the problem with the stars right now, Christian, is, and you're seeing it, every team is doing it, they have enough video, they know that Tatum and Brown are the heart and soul right now of this team. You don't have anybody else that you can depend on. So what they're doing is they're trapping right out of the gate. They're trying to keep the ball away from those two guys.
Well, that's fine.
Or when they get it, they're trapping it.
But you have Kemba. There's three people.
No, there's
two. Kemba. Wait, are we removing Kemba now officially?
Kemba's your problem.
Oh, okay. So you only have two players.
Let's look at last year to this year. Last year you had Gordon Hayward, and you had Kemba Walker, and you had Marcus Smart. Right now, in my opinion, you don't have any of them. Because Kemba,
well,
if he
damn
can't...
sure don't have Gordon.
Right. But if Kemba can't go out there and score a lot of points for you, he's useless. He does nothing else at the other end. Matter of fact, they're using Nesmith out there to defend at times on certain possessions because they got to get Kemba out of there. He's exploited.
But his issue isn't necessarily...
The knee may prevent him from...
How many shots did he make in overtime? How many shots? Zero. He couldn't hit one shot.
Well, he missed two big threes down the stretch in regulation.
And that's what you're paying him for. So I can't sit there and allow you to say, well, it's defense. It's defense. But you always bring up defense with Kemba like it's some mystery. Like nobody knew he was a terrible defensive player.
No, you're missing the point. He does one thing and one thing well. And that is shoot the basketball.
Well, he's not doing that, and that's my point.
That's the point.
He's not doing that either.
So I just said that. It's got nothing to do with defense. My point is, if he can't score a lot of points for you, he is useless. He doesn't do anything else out there. And Perk took him to task, and he was right to do so. Now when he's missing the threes, he's laughing and smiling. And I know it's a nervous reflex or whatever, but I don't know what your reaction is. I'm sitting there going, man, you got to figure this out.
I don't think that he's your big problem in the big picture. You know, I'm not saying he was great last night. He wasn't. And he's had a few duds. But I don't know. Do you want to talk about the Atlanta win when he had 28? And he was 10 for 16?
Yeah, but I think if you look at on the whole, we can break down the splits on it. The games they win, he shoots well and scores a lot of points. Yeah. When he shoots poorly, they lose because you need the third option. They don't have a third option.
I understand that. But, I mean, they're sitting him on some games. And it's strange, too, because when they sit him, if you look at the game he comes back after missing a game, he's lights out. He is great. So I don't know what is going on, whether it's conditioning or what. I'm just saying big picture. Like, I don't think Kemba's your problem. And I'm not saying he was great last night. He wasn't. It's sort of like, you know, a night after Marcus Smart takes 17 shots, we say he's the big problem. Well, he got a little crazy in one game. And Kemba's had a few of these. Kemba's had four or five of these so far in like the 15 he's played in. But he's also had games when he is exactly what you thought he was. He's that third scorer. I'm just talking big.
Those are the games they win.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It tells you that he's valuable, but I still don't think big picture, I don't think he's your problem.
He is your problem because he's limited in that he is a scorer. And when he's not scoring, he's useless because he can't bring anything else to the table. I know it's cute for everybody to say, well, it's more relaxed in the locker room because they like him a lot better than Kyrie. Is anybody watching Kyrie who's having an MVP season right now in Brooklyn? Okay? You want to talk about the talent and what they bring to the table, it's not even close.
Well, I don't think anybody thought that it was.
Yeah, I think Kemba's a problem right now unless he can fix it, and maybe it's physical. Maybe he can't, Lou. Maybe there's too much pressure. You know, Brad said last night they couldn't have played him if they went into another overtime. Wow, that's a problem. This has been going on now for a whole calendar year.
But I'm just saying, like when you look at this team and you say, you know, obviously Kemba's got to play at a high level, but Kemba can turn it around, again, like I said, in some games he has this year. I mean, I think he's had 10, 12 games. He's been really good, and it's still not enough. Like, it's still not. Like, when you, there's a reason why your bench is 29th in the league. You know, and the way Brad plays this, he always plays the bench the last few minutes of the third quarter, last four or five, and the first four or five minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I don't like it.
And it just seems like the momentum sort of goes away right then and there because they don't have anything else. They don't have a sixth man. They don't have a seventh man. They don't. They don't have somebody that can come out and play with Tatum, and Tatum can look around and say, okay, I can go to that guy.
All right,
and they have kids who have talent, but they're just too young.
You're right. The roster is not good enough. There's no question about that. All right, we'll get to all of that. And what do you think is wrong with the Celtics? And could the coach have anything to do with it? I mean, if you're not developing the bench, isn't that the coach's responsibility? And isn't this guy, everybody tells me he's great at developing young players? We'll get into Cam Newton as well. All part of today's OMF.
Ordway, Marloney, Fourier, back to OMF on EEI.
Josh Hart counted and won. Here comes New Orleans. Ingram with a chance to pull his team within one. For the tie, yes! Ingram knocks it at 98. Melly for the lead for three. Got it! Zion, he goes quickly with it against Thompson. Fouled, counted and won! Zion with the flex. Ingram for the lead. Got it! Butter! This one's done. This might become a small part of Pelicans' lore. Biggest comeback. 24 points. They win it 120 to 115.
Hey, Jalen, what eats at you about this loss?
I think we had a tough third quarter, part of the fourth quarter stretch. Would have liked to play better on both ends of the ball. It's a tough loss, man.
Offensively, for the Celtics, they got back to playing My Hero Basketball.
Oh, yeah.
So that was the other disturbing thing about the game is that both Tatum and Brown, when the game was over, really didn't give you optimism that they're going to be able to fix this, did it? I mean, they were...
I think we've had this... How many times have we had this conversation? We've had the same conversation at least... five times since the season started. Same whole situation. It's just getting worse.
So where does Brad Stevens fit into all of this? I saw where Stephen A. Smith blasted him this morning as he's not a motivational leader for this team, and that's where their issues lie. How much of it is he responsible for this?
Where's Mad Brad? Mad Brad doesn't exist. I need him to get mad and start yelling and tipping over of a Gatorade table and just throwing stuff, breaking a chalkboard, doing something. Like, I don't know if I'm going to blame, like, hey, the fact that Kemba Walker couldn't make shots. Like, if a guy can't make shots, that's not the coach's fault. But when it comes to adjusting, encouraging, motivating, adjusting on the fly, keeping them engaged and keeping them aware of what's going, using the timeouts at the right time, drawing up plays. That is where I give the coach a lot of heat. But the fact that these guys missed so many shots, I mean, I don't know what else to say.
But it is, too, we talk about Brad Stevens, what Perk was talking about, the hero ball. Now, I never heard my hero ball, but my hero ball.
Yeah.
It does. It seems like they kind of run a play, and if it's stagnant, you look up and it's 12 seconds. There's Tatum at the top of the key, taking two steps back, and here we go. You know, ISO fadeaway jumper. You know, and Doris Burke can fawn all over him when he actually hits one. You know what I mean? But there's no comment at all when he misses like the other three or four. It just turns in, and Jaylen Brown is sitting in the corner. Somebody else is sitting in the other corner, and it's like a two-man game with like Tatum and Kemba. But usually Kemba then backs off, and it's just that ISO ball with Tatum. I know he's a phenomenal scorer, but it's just, to me, it's like there's a reason why Celtics fans don't like that shot or that play. If it went in, we'd love it. If it went in more times than not, we'd love it. But it doesn't. It's just ISO, shot clock coming down, give it the ball to Tatum, back up two steps, put a move on, little sidestep, fadeaway three, miss. But when he hits it, he looks at their bench and he talks trash, and Doris Burke goes off on it. But still, it's like, how many times are you going to do that? And just, what are we running?
He's not trusting anybody else on the court, so he only trusts himself. And he did throw that little runner in, which was a big bucket. But I think you're right. I think he looks at it and says, I don't trust any of these other kids, anybody else. I'm going to do it myself. But listen to both of them when the game was over. And tell me if you feel confident listening to them that they're coming out of this. We start with Tatum and then go to Jaylen Brown.
There are a lot of plays in the fourth quarter where the play was set up to get you the ball on the move. And then when New Orleans would shut it down, you would a lot of the times have to kick out and kind of reset into a post-up or an isolation. Do you feel like everyone's on the same page about how to proceed after that first action breaks down?
I don't know. It's just more so reading who's out there with you, knowing who's hot, knowing who has a mismatch, just being instinctual. I think that's just part of playing basketball. Because at that point, you know, it was making the right read.
I feel like there's going to be a point when Danny actually puts this team together properly and actually has a couple of guys coming off the bench to score, to have some play some minutes with these guys, that eventually down the road you're going to hear Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown talking about how much easier it is when there's guys on the court that you know you can trust. How much you can open up the game when there's guys that you know that you can actually, you know, if you're getting double teamed or miss the, and confident that if I give the ball to this guy that he's going to make an offensive play and score a bucket. You will hear that down the road. You won't hear it this year because those guys aren't on this team. But if Danny can ever put this team together properly, I believe you will hear that. And you won't hear a frustration of, I don't know, just depends on who's on the court.
All right, so here's Jaylen Brown.
Is Pritchard hot? Is Neesmith hot right now? Or is Tice hot? Or is Tristan Thompson hot? Or screw it, I'm going ISO because what am I going to do and give those guys the ball?
So here's Jaylen Brown again. Lack of confidence, what?
Seeing a trend, especially in the fourth quarter, where a play, you'll get to the first action, the defense stops it, and then there's kind of a bit of a panic on like what to do from there. Do you feel like everyone's kind of on the same page of how to continue to proceed when a play isn't hitting right away?
No comment.
How many times are you going to get that?
Was it last week? Is that the same thing?
How many times are you going to get that from him?
That's not a good sign, fellas.
Wait a second. Hold on. Wait a second. Like, you can't just pick and choose when you want to have a comment. So if it's important and you're winning, then you'll talk about it. This I think, drives me crazy more than anything. So it's not always going to be easy. It's not going to be pretty. And you're not always going to go to the Eastern Conference Championship game. You know, I just don't understand why he just doesn't just answer the stupid question.
No comment.
I mean, we had the same issue last week.
So to me, when I start hearing stuff like this, I think there's a lot more going on in that locker room. Nobody's around there. Media can't get close to him because of all of the Zoom and COVID and everything else. But don't you get the feeling that there's a lot more going on in that locker room?
Like, what do you think it is? Like, do you think that Kemba, Tatum, and Jaylen, you know, and Marcus, who's not there right now, who played together, you know, that first year, and then Japan torn together, and these four players, so now these three players on the court. What do you think it is? Don't you think after practice, on the bus, in the hotel or something, they're looking around and go, who else do we go to? Like, who do we, I mean, Neesmith's going to be, he could be a good player in this league at some point. We like what Pritchard's showing us, but who else are we going to?
Yeah, but there are a lot of other teams that I'm looking at these young players who were getting meaningful playing minutes, and they're contributing.
Where? And, I'm just saying, like for example.
Well, you can go all over the league.
Good
you can
teams
see young
are
players
relying
who are
on.
Playing.
What?
You could see all over the league where young players are getting an opportunity to play.
I'm not talking opportunity. I'm talking about being asked to be the sixth and seventh man on a team.
It's not the sixth and seventh
or
man
starting
that's
point
the problem.
Guard.
It never is when you're looking at the sixth and seventh man in the NBA. Utah's doing it with seven players right now. It isn't. What it is
well, yeah, they got third, a sixth and a seventh
they
man.
They don't have a 3, 4, or 5. That's their problem. They don't have a 3, 4, or 5. Kemba is not an elite player right now. You're paying him elite money. He's not an elite player.
See, I think that makes sense. I'll give you that because if you're assuming that Tice or Thompson, right? Because it's been one of those two. Because even though I think Robert Williams is going to end up probably starting soon, and if not, he should be starting. And that to me, I'm okay with your 4 and your 5 just being average guys. And in no particular order, forget about position. Like 3 out of the 5 are go-to guys. Maybe the 1 is, you know, a little bit better, number 2, whatever. But you really got to count on 3 guys. Like even when they played last week, there was all this ball movement, Everybody was getting involved. Pritchard, everybody was scoring points like crazy. Then the next game, they play Washington. There is no ball movement. And then you got your first no comment from Jaylen Brown. I mean, they can't, it's like they can't figure out who they want to be or who they can really rely on. It just really is, and I don't think you need to really overanalyze it. So if you're calling it a personnel issue, fine. They're never going to be the team you want them to be, ever. But even with the 24-point lead, you still should be able to walk out of that Smoothie King arena with something more than a smoothie.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's all they probably left with.
I agree. And I hate to throw one more out, and this might aggravate you, Fourier, and that is they miss Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart might be the balls of that team. He may be the guy. He may be the seed again. He may be the guy.
A non-shooting seed.
When bleep hits the fan, that he's the one guy that can reel everybody
back.
Well,
he helps you start in 5, that's for sure. You take one of the bigs off the court, and you got, you know, whether it's Tice or Thompson coming off the bench, but I still think it's more than that. You know,
right now you're getting a shooting percentage out of Kemba that is what you get out of Marcus Smart, and you're getting no defense out of him. So that's where you're really hurting. Think about it. Last year, Gordon Hayward, you had Kemba at least healthy for half the season, first half of the season, and then you also had Marcus Smart. You're without those 3 guys right now. And even though I think we all agree that Tatum and Brown are better this year than they were last year, the team isn't. And I'm not criticizing the roster issue. Danny's got a roster issue. There's no question about that, Lou. They need a better roster.
Yeah.
But I do believe that the problem is more top-weighted than it is throughout the rest of the roster. You got Pritchard, who's out there contributing right now. You got Robert Williams, who's out there contributing.
Inconsistent.
I agree. But you're going to get that out of all young players.
Yeah, so that's why you get too many young players.
Yeah, total veterans, you're going to get that. All right, we'll get back into the Celtics, and we'll get into your phone calls with the C's as well. But we got to get into Cam Newton. Had himself an interesting weekend at his 7-on-7 camp, and today he's talking about it. You'll hear from Cam Newton coming up next right here on OMF.
On Twitter at Glenn D. Ordway.
Who doesn't like fun?
Back to OMF on WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, all three of us back. We will get to the Cam's adventures at band camp coming up in just a little bit. But he did sit down and speak today with Brandon Marshall, Fred Taylor, Channing Crowder on the I Am Athlete podcast. And he talked an awful lot about his experience here with the New England Patriots. So they asked him exactly what happened when he came back after COVID.
What the hell happened after COVID?
Okay, I used the analogy today. So from Atlanta, Georgia originally, right? I'm coming to Miami. I was driving to Miami, 2 different cars. Everybody's on the same wave. I'm following this car. I make a phone call to the front car and say, hey, I got to get some gas, but y'all go on. Boom, they still gone. I get some gas, get some food, stop by McDonald's, whatever.
There you go.
But they're gone. And then by the time I get back on the road, I'm behind. So, and I was the first, one of the first athletes, football players to catch it. And I'm over here like, man, what, how did I get it? Where did it come from? You know what I mean? And everybody's in this panic mode, as we should still be. You know, it just happened so fast. And when I came back, it was something that, that's where the lack of off season, that's the lack of having time, really being invested in the system, kind of showed itself.
All right, so I'm confused here. He was asymptomatic, correct?
Yes.
So he's claiming that his biggest problem was, and he gave you that analogy of stopping with the car and the whole works, but he was basically saying that he was away from the team for 2 weeks, so he lost all of the preparation time and learning the next lesson in the book of the Patriot system. But I was under the understanding that he was asymptomatic, he was on Zoom sessions, and he was constantly in those meetings on Zoom. So was he not paying attention?
Well, here, my biggest takeaway is that analogy he had, I thought was a good one, okay? But I want to ask you, because it's different. It depends on whether you believe it or not. Do you believe it? Because this guy was, what did he miss? He missed 1 week, right?
Yes.
1 week. So he got diagnosed there Friday night. So Saturday morning, he wakes up and he gets a phone call or whatever it is that he's positive. So he doesn't play Monday night against the Chiefs. Tuesday, is there a practice?
There shouldn't be.
No. All right. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he came back for a walkthrough and played that week, right?
Yep.
So he's talking about, do you believe that they just took off without him? And when they came back, they said, sorry, man, our offense is advanced. You better catch up. In 3 days. Do you believe that happened? That they took off without him?
No, no, no. Okay, so and for the record, so again, that to me, I just feel like there's just so many excuses. And so, sure, the car analogy is cute and all, and it makes
cute,
sense,
yes.
And I understand it. But you were, if I can believe the COVID fog, just use that.
Yep.
Stick with COVID issues, COVID fog. I mean, even if I have a really bad flu, it takes me
while. He admitted he had nothing wrong. He said he
nothing.
His smell was gone. That was about it.
So remove COVID fog. So we're gonna assume that by the time he got back, the Patriots and Josh McDaniels just said, "You know what? You better hurry up and catch up. We're not waiting for you." Oh yeah, the most important position on the field. We're not, you know what, and we've changed the wording of everything. You got to hurry up and figure it out. Not we're going to dumb it down. Not we've moved ahead. How much farther can an offense really go? Not, okay, a high-level offense, a big-time offense that's been established and been, they can make leaps and bounds in 3 days. That offense that was limited to begin with, what do you think they're adding? Like, what do you think that they're adding? How much different terminology can they really add to really throw you off? Five plays?
Yeah, the terminology doesn't change. The game plan
might change. A couple protection packages?
Right, from week to week it might
change. Checks with me's?
So this one's really going to get you if you talk about excuses or whatever, because he gets into your favorite word and that word of the S word, okay?
Oh, it's not system, is it?
Yeah, it is.
He didn't blame the system. Is this calculus?
He did. He said he didn't feel comfortable with the pre-snap skill.
By the time I came back, I didn't feel comfortable physically. Skillfully, and a lot of that discomfort came pre-snap. I've always valued my talents as something that's the improv. Like, I'm gonna make a play. I know how to make a play. I'm going, you know, in this system, it dictates, you know, by certain things and working extra with, you know, Josh. Throughout those times, there was times where it's just like, hold on, set wide 80. Hold on, am I supposed to set wide 80? Wide 80? And I'm like, lost of. Like, hold on, I'm thinking too much.
Yeah.
The offense kept going, and I was stopped and stagnant for a week, 2 weeks. And then by the time I came back, it was new terminology and it was new. I was like, hold on, but go back to level one. I wasn't just trying to learn a system for what it was. I was learning let's be honest, a 20-year system in 2 months.
Real quick, just to go back though, there was he did miss more than a week because there was that. Was that the bye?
Bye was kind of shoehorned in there.
So going back to all that, the system and the analogy of the car taking off. Let's say he missed, Let's say he just missed a full 8, 9, 10 days of practice.
I don't think that's true, though. I think he was in meetings, though, right? In the times they were in meetings.
Right, but... Right.
No, he was physically wasn't there.
Do you believe that when he played against Vegas, that was his last game, and his next game, he missed Kansas City, next game was Denver, do you believe that Josh McDaniels moved this offense to a point, he said, you know what, Cam, I know you've been out for 10 days, I don't really care. We have different plays, we have different terminology, we have moved without you.
That makes no sense.
Because if you believe that, then the criticism coming down on Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, for allowing this team in 10 days to completely change and leave their starting quarterback behind is incompetence and poor coaching. So do you believe that they would just 10 days later and not say, okay, now that we got Cam back, let's get back to what we're doing? Like, you've advanced.
We're on level two now.
You've advanced your offense so much that you've left your quarterback behind. Do you think that this offense, this Josh McDaniels, would do that? And okay, just say, good
no.
luck trying to figure it out?
And well, no, let's, and let's not, but let's not act like they were at level 10. Okay? Let's not act like this was prime Brady at his best with the Patriots. 2007, just a freaking ninja, man. Just killing everybody with his pre-snap reads and his ability to adjust with not two wide receivers, five.
What was this?
Five like? Options in real time.
When did this happen? Like week five? Is that right? Right around week five?
I feel like it's...
What
was
his excuse when we got to week 10, week
but
11?
Isn't that
12,
what it is?
13,
so I feel 14. Like this is not doing the Patriots any favors because you're right, Lou. It's either they were completely... They just ignored where he was and said, you know what? We can't wait for you. We're just going to, you know, we're just going to gamble because that's what the Patriots do.
Yeah.
Then I would also say this is further proof that he can't handle any system that isn't tailor-made for him. So just newsflash, you know, reading the defense pre-snap is what every quarterback does. Every quarterback.
Really? Okay. Every quarterback
high
has to
level,
do that?
Wow. Like masterclass type stuff is when you have multiple options. You have two inside receivers, you have two outside receivers, you have a back, you have and you're playing against a defense that is scheming specifically for your adjustments that they know you're gonna make. So you're constantly adjusting on the fly. I would say most of his routes, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, were like two-man routes.
Yeah.
Max protection. Yeah. Pat the ball like crazy. Yeah. Like, I just don't feel like why can't he just say it was too much for me?
Well, Christian, this was
You know what? And it has nothing to do with this Patriots system.
But wait,
you
wait.
Weren't running they the weren't, Patriots system.
No, that's right. They weren't running the same thing they ran for the last 20 years because he had a different skill set. Yeah. They had to change everything up.
I never saw too many quarterback draws in the system the last 20 years. They adjusted.
Quarterback options? Quarterback counters?
Yes. No, I never saw any of those things.
None of those?
No. Rollouts?
No.
Didn't see too many of those.
He never rolled out.
You don't remember Brady rolling out? No.
They changed their offense for Cam. And I'm sure there's some stuff because Josh is familiar with the terminology and the wide receivers are there. And I guess Ryan Izzo, the only tight end, is familiar with it somewhat. So it's like, you know, they're trying to use the philosophy or the terminology that Josh McDaniels has used. So you got to learn new terminology when you come to a new team. I think most teams are like that. But it wasn't like it was the same offense.
So what happened
that Brady
in week
ran for 20 years?
So week 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. What was the problem then? Hold on. Is Josh adding new terminology? And the only person that doesn't know about it is Cam Newton.
I mean, come
so wait, so the whole the offensive line is going to know about it. The receiver, and you know what, you guys don't tell Cam.
Yeah.
Let's make it really difficult for him.
That's what annoys me about that analogy, and it's a good one. I just wonder if it's true. Because first off, if people would take off and you know leave you behind, you'd probably call him up and say, hey, can you pull off on the side of the road until I can catch up?
Or how about the fact that the person that is leading like, hey, realizes that you're nowhere in their rearview mirror. They stop and wait for you to catch up.
Hey, I just got back. I've taken 10 days off. You know, I haven't practiced in 10 days. Can we just sort of slow down and go back to where I was when we last played against Vegas? Can we go? Or you guys just took off without me? Like, I don't believe Josh McDaniels would have Cam Newton, his starting quarterback, miss 10 practices and advanced the offense so much that when Cam came back, he just looked at him and said, hey, good luck.
None of
catch
it makes
up.
Any sense.
Try to figure it out.
I think Christian hit it right at the get-go, and that is he's making excuses and he's using the COVID, even though he was asymptomatic. And granted, it probably set him back a little bit, but it shouldn't have been affecting him 8, 10 weeks later. And he's using that now as an excuse why he did not play well. So here's real good news, though, because if the Patriots would have him back, he says, yes, he'd go back. Listen to this.
Bill not cold,
he,
bro.
Well, he no, he's not. Cold at all. Like Josh isn't either. No. Like nobody's on that team has this aura where you do not want to be around them. It's everything is geared to win. And if you're not built for that, that's not the place for
that's
you.
That's on you.
Right, and right. I say this, that's not the place where you want to lose either.
Mm-mm.
And I found that out the hard way. Some skeptical things that was going on that I could have reacted and retaliated to, but I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I just got to be better.
You're on a one-year deal. Would you go back?
Yes. Hell yes.
Especially, definitely, with all season, you get all season, you got OTAs.
Everything. I don't have to, I'm getting tired of changing, bro. I'm at a point in my career, bro. I know it. I know way more than I knew.
Okay. So he's right. That's the one thing I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first of all, there's no place as fun in the NFL when you lose, but there is this acceptance for some organizations, once you kind of realize you're done,
it's called
the coaching right. Doesn't exist. Everyone's just kind of waiting for it to be over, and they're trying to do the best to hide it. But he's right, because I was, you know, but I mean, listen, 7-9, 8-8, 9-7, I don't see what the big difference is there. I mean, you're miserable. You're miserable either way, because every week you're chasing your tail and you're trying to catch up. But that, I mean, that's a no-brainer. That to me is the most honesty. And the most, in the, you know, realistic answer that I've heard so far, like the system stuff, they weren't waiting for me. The new terminology, like, what are we doing here? You're a quarterback. There's 32 of you in the world, and you're telling me an offensive coordinator adding a couple protections and some new terminology, like, is too much for you? Like, so what are you doing in the league? Does everything have to be red right, cam run right? Red left, cam run left. Red right, sprint out, cam throw left. Like, does everything have to be tagged with your name on it so you know exactly what to do? Like, I'm not giving him a pass for this. Like, I mean, this whole, like, excuse tour that's going on is laughable.
Yeah, I just find it hard to believe. I mean, so he had COVID. So a quarterback gets hurt, misses a week. And the team just takes off without him.
You know, catch up for us when you can. we're not waiting for you, most important person on the team.
The guy that controls everything. We have moved on, and now it's up to you. Like, go talk to Hoyer. You know, because we had Hoyer instead, kind of. We took our offense to a new level with Brian Hoyer under center and Jared Stidham. We increased so much that when you came back after a week, 10 days, you were completely lost. That you didn't know what to think pre-snap. Like, that just baffles me. And if it is, then I would look at Josh McDaniels and say, shame on you if it's true.
Yeah, I don't think it's
true. Okay, but I just find it hard to believe that it is.
I find it hard to believe that your quarterback has got COVID. He doesn't have the flu. He's not in bed. He may be taking medication. I don't know. But he's asymptomatic. And you're sitting there. You can converse with him. You're doing everything else on Zoom technology. All of the meetings at the time were done with Zoom. They weren't doing live meetings at the time. So he was on the same Zoom call for those meetings as every other player.
Okay, but
I don't understand
it. Let's do this. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. They ran away from you and you couldn't catch up. Well, hell, by the time you reached Jacksonville on your way to Miami, you caught up to them. And that was against the Chargers, against the Rams, against the Dolphins, against the Bills, and against the Jets. I would say you were able to catch up and you guys all had the same playlist at this point in time.
You would think so.
Okay, so now, what is your excuse then? Because it feels like we're focusing on the fourth and fifth week of the season? Which is, you're in your infancy then, and one of those weeks was a bye week, so nobody was even practicing. They were shutting the facility down, and nobody was practicing. Bill talked about it. Nobody was practicing. So what happened? Okay, so fine. So Denver, pass. San Francisco,
awful.
Pass. I will say by Buffalo, you were ready to go, and you know, and you had an opportunity to win that game, but you fumbled. Okay, still, fine. You tried to make a play. The Jets, you had a pretty good game. You guys won. Nick Folk saved your ass. The Ravens, you win that game, but then you play Houston. Then you play the Cardinals. Then you play the Chargers. Listen, this has nothing to do with the system. This had nothing to do with the fact that they passed you because you had 10 weeks. 10 weeks. Oh, no offseason. Really? You looked pretty damn good against Miami. You looked pretty good against Seattle. By the time you got to Vegas, they figured it out. They knew what you could and couldn't do. Why don't you just say your receiver sucked. We couldn't run a really explicit offense. I couldn't throw the ball downfield. Hey, did you guys see my Hail Mary pass? Did you happen to see that? I gave it all I had. I threw it from the hip, and I still couldn't get it 40 yards. You know what? I blame that on, you know what? It was Josh McDaniels said he had changed the wording of the play. He didn't say Hail Mary. He said Holy Mary. I got confused. He said Holy Mary. I was like, we don't have that play in our book.
Yeah, I think this is all just, and he must know he's not coming back, and he's just making excuses. When we come back, you got to hear this, because apparently he intimidated a lot of people, and that may have been a problem for him in finding work. This hour of OMF brought to you by FindMassMoney.com. He also had an interesting encounter with one of his campers, a high school kid, over the weekend. We'll let you hear that as well and get to the phone calls at 617-779-7937.